We come now to the point where we turn to the Word of God, and we're reading from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and at verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Amen. And we're so grateful to God for his word. So here we are. The build-up has taken place. The stage has been set. All the preparatory things have been put in place as far as the introduction of Christ is concerned in Mark's gospel. John's message has been delivered. Christ has been baptized. The temptation has taken place in the wilderness by Satan, all of which are giving us insights into the identity of Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. And the stage is now set for the full impact and the full force of what he is about to say as he steps on to the public stage of his ministry. And he's about to speak. And with eagerness, we are waiting to hear what the message is that Christ has. And he says, as we've read, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, there are two things that we're going to just look at today, broad headings that I have over this. First is the moment, and then secondly, we're going to think a little bit about the message that Jesus announced. So first of all, the moment when he says the time has come. So, I mean, this is a hugely significant moment in the history of our world. You know, people have often felt that there have been very significant times. I always remember reading Churchill's memoirs about when he became Prime Minister, just at the beginning of the Second World War. Of course, a hugely significant time of history, but what Churchill wrote was, he said, you know, I felt I was walking with destiny. I felt that everything that had taken place in my life up until now was just a preparation for the task that I was now taking on, you know? But here is something here, even more momentous and significant than that important time in the history of our nation. It's the long-promised deliverer who has arrived and who begins his public mission that is going to culminate in his atoning death at the cross of Calvary, which in John chapter 17 he refers to in a slightly different way, not just as the time that has come, but he actually says, Father, the hour has come. This is the moment when Christ is here and when he appears. It's absolutely momentous. And it was established before there was such an entity as time at all. From before the foundation of our world, before this world was set on its axis and God created it, and the great purposes of God, this time and this moment had been determined when the deliverer, when the Savior would arrive. Now, why it was this particular time in history, we don't really know. But God has his own purposes and God has his timing. That was true for the birth of Christ. We had that read to us from Galatians early on. When you think about it, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. It was true for the death of Christ, the hour, my hour has arrived. And it will be true for the coming again of Christ. Jesus said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, you know, as far as the times and the seasons are concerned, it's not for you to know these things that the Father has placed in his own purposes. But that time will come. And as we think about the purposes of God today, in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, as far as his public ministry is concerned, but as far as the entire scope of these purposes is concerned, we think about the fact of Christ's return as well. And it's been established in God's plan, and we don't know when that is, but we should be prepared for that. Christ said to the people, and be ye also ready. To be prepared in heart for the return of Christ. I was reading in the BBC News some of the comments of the governor of Florida about the arrival of this Hurricane Irma. You know, and what he was saying was, you know, you'd better wake up and you'd better pay attention to what is about to happen. So easy to look out, you know, over the beach in Naples, and think, you know, the sun is golden and the sands are fine and life is okay and nothing's going to happen. And not to be aware that, you know, just in a matter of hours' time, something is going to, you know, potentially be a threat to life as well as to property. And for us today, you know, there are the purposes of God and Christ will return. And we all better wake up and pay attention to the reality of these spiritual messages for us. I'd like to say something else about the moment. And I'd like to speak about some of the practicalities of this and apply it in some other ways. You know, this whole idea is often expressed in some of the Psalms. And David and the other psalmists at times will all often say, you know, how long, O Lord? They'll look out and say, why don't you intervene now? Look at our situation and our experience. Evil is prevailing. Suffering is continuing. There are so many difficulties. The cause of God is maligned. We're on the back foot. And why don't you intervene? Why has your moment not come now? And God's purposes at times are inscrutable to us. But that doesn't mean that we harden our hearts and feel that God is disinterested. Let me quote to you one of the great hymns of the faith by William Cowper. A couple of verses from it anyway that capture this idea of God's sovereignty as far as the moment is concerned. God, he moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and he rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. How long, O God? Don't give in to unbelief. God can establish and spread a table in the wilderness. Don't doubt his goodness or that his purposes will come to fruition. I'd also like to say that God has a moment for all of us. Daniel the prophet learned that about kings, about empires, about nations. So did Esther, when she was told that, who knows, that perhaps for such a time as this, you have been brought to the kingdom. And it's also for our lives too. Acts 19, when Paul speaks to the Athenians, he has this to say to them, you know, God, he determined our times and the bounds of our habitation. God has determined the period and time in history that we would live and the place that we would live our lives, so that we might search after him and find him. And God in his sovereignty establishes these things. And so that means that you are placed where God wants you to be, in the setting where God has planned for you to be his witness to your family, to your colleagues, to your friends, in the community where you are. I wonder if we really have grasped that and we really believe that. I think it would change the way that we think of our lives as we see the moment and the purpose of God's sovereignty. You actually see this in verse 14 with John. You see how our reading started off today? After John was put in prison. John's ministry is now over at this point. He was there as the forerunner of Christ. And that ministry may only actually, can you believe it, have lasted something like 6 months. For 6 months, John was there doing what God intended him to do. And now that work is over. And he's now in prison. And John will soon lose his life. But he was God's man for that moment. And we see illustrations of this throughout Scripture. You think of Joseph of Arimathea. Now, Joseph didn't know this, but he was prophesied about in the Old Testament. You read Isaiah 53, the great prophecy that the Messiah would be with a rich man in his death. And there's Joseph. And he's just there, right at that very moment when the crucifixion takes place, with his new tomb in that garden. And he steps forward and he fulfills the moment that God had for him. We need to learn to look on our lives as part of the purposes of God and recognize that now is the time for us. God gives us now. God gives us today. You know, it's not for us to live our lives in the past, or it's not for us to kind of somehow or another always be attaining for a never land of the future that never quite comes together. And just to be engrossed with that. It's to recognize that this is the day that the Lord has made. And we should be glad and rejoice in this moment. And now, if we are not saved, you know, to realize that we should not harden our hearts. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart against God and his kindness and his goodness. He's given us all this moment to hear his word and to listen about the Savior and about the gospel. Don't procrastinate. Your breath is in God's hand. A faltering, momentary, transient breath, which is but a vapor. And eternity looms before us, and God gives us now to respond to his word. It's good for us to think about the moment. But I'd also like to just emphasize something about the message. And what a message Christ spoke. There are a few components of it I'd like just to highlight. There are four in particular. The first thing I'd like to say something about was that after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. So when he came into Galilee, that region that was in darkness, the kind of Gentile pagan part of the country, sat in the shadow of death, you know, a light was about to arise because Christ was there and his message is about to sound. And as he goes out in his public ministry, he proclaims it. He announces it with confidence and with a sense of authority and with a real impression of power. There's no kind of hesitancy. There's not a kind of apologetic sense. It's not, excuse me while I just give my opinion, which is hardly worth talking about. No, not at all. With absolute confidence, there is a proclamation. Here is the good news. Here is my message for you that can change you and that can transform you. And that's still the way that the message of the gospel needs to be shared today. Not with a sense of arrogance or superiority, looking down on people, but with confidence in the content of this message, that it comes from God himself. It is about God himself. And without a shadow of a doubt, it is true. Without a shadow of a doubt, it can change the lives of the people who believe it and who receive it. And I wonder if in our day and age, with all the attacks and the criticisms and the clever people that are often criticizing Christianity and the gospel, whether at times we have lost this sense of authority and we need to recapture it again, not in ourselves, but in the message that we have, and to look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ as he proclaimed this message. If you were to turn round to verse 27 of chapter 1, that's what the people said when they listened to him, that he spoke with authority. What authority is this that he speaks with? It wasn't like the people of his day. You know, they would say, well, Rabbi Gamaliel says this, and, well, Rabbi Shammai has a different kind of point of view, and we'll kick it about back and forward and maybe come to some sort of consensus. When Christ appeared and he proclaimed the gospel, it came over with a sense of authority. This is real. This is important. I have a conviction about this, and therefore I speak in this way. And we need to recapture that as the people of God, and as Sergei was saying, not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. Second point about the message is it is described as the good news of God. He came and he was proclaiming the good news of God. And that fundamentally was Christ's message. It was a message of good news at its heart, at its core. Yes, there were warnings. Yes, at times there was something solemn that had to be said. Yes, occasionally people were warned. But at the very heart, the thing that defines the message is it's good news. It's the gospel. It's tremendous news. It's not fake news. It's not sad news. It's not bad news. It's good news. You know, we know what it's like sometimes when bad news is broken. You know, you're called into the doctor's office. We've got your scan result back. And something has shown up here. It's a bit concerning. We're a bit anxious. I'm sorry to have to break this news to you, but this is where we are. Quite different from the situation where the couple come in and they've been worried about their inability to have a family for years and years. They've tried, and you say, well, let me just check this thing again. And would you believe it? The lines come up there, and you're pregnant, and it's great news all around. Now, this is exactly where we are. Let's never forget the good news that is encapsulated in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the good news of God. We haven't formulated it. We haven't come up with the idea. God himself looks at our situation and he sees our lostness and our ruin. He sees the curse of sin that blights our lives, blights our individual lives and our world. And the good news is this, this can be sorted. Guilt can be dealt with. The curse can be removed. Here is a Savior in all his fullness and all his sufficiency. If you have faith in Christ, you know, you can have the good news of your sins forgiven. You can have the good news of knowing that God is your Father and that heaven will be your eternal destination. Christians, we need to recapture this. We need to recapture, and if you've never read this story for a while, you need to go home and read 2 Kings chapter 7. The story of four men who had leprosy outside the city of Samaria. There's a famine on. They're surrounded by an army. And people are dying, resorting to cannibalism inside the city. And the four guys with leprosy go out. And when they go out, they realize that the enemy camp is deserted. God's angel has dealt with them. They've all run away. And there they are, and they're able to eat the food. And suddenly they sit down after having filled them, their stomachs, and say, hey, what we're doing is not right here. It's not right. This is a day of good news. And we're keeping it to ourselves. Us four, no more, shut the door, you know? And that's it. And they go back to the city of Samaria. And there's a stampede, you know, as the news is given that the siege has ended and there's food there. You know, that's a picture of our situation as believers. It's not good if we keep it to ourselves. It's a day of good news. Let's be committed to the sharing, to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ as he himself was. I'd like to say something. The third point about the message is the need to repent and believe. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. There is a requirement to change our way of thinking, to change our attitudes about ourselves and about God, and to do that with feeling, often with emotion, perhaps with remorse, but not exclusively so, not always so. The main thing is that the attitude and the mind is changed. And it's a turning away from our old life, turning away from our sin, and turning towards the Lord Jesus Christ in belief and in faith. That's the message. That's what Christ was proclaiming. That was the third component of this message. Repent and believe the good news. And that is exactly what the fishermen did, if you look down to the very next section. There they are, you know, fixing their nets or actually fishing, and Christ comes to them and he says to them, you know, follow me. Peter, follow me. Andrew, follow me today. And they look at him. This is, in fact, not the first time that they have been exposed to the teaching of Christ. We know that from other passages. But they look at him and they hear what he has to say. They listen to his call and they respond with repentance and with faith. And that's how the Word of God expects us all to respond today. We're all called by Christ. The Word of God is spoken. And this is the call of Christ to every single one of our hearts today. He says, come and follow me, and I will make you. I'll change, I'll make you into something different and someone different. Come and follow. And they immediately left. And the call of Christ comes to us to respond today at this moment with repentance and with faith. And the final thing that characterizes the message is this. It's about the kingdom of God. See that? The kingdom of God has come near. Come near right to you. God's kingdom not in some far off eternal heaven. I mean, that is one aspect of what the Bible talks about as the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is just where the rule of God is acknowledged. So we're not talking about some kind of heaven on earth type of empire that's going to be established here. That's not what he means. He's talking about Christ being enthroned in the hearts of individual men and women. Christ being placed there as the king and the sovereign of their lives. And his rule is what matters. What he says is what is obeyed and what is followed. And it's for people to acknowledge that they bow their heart, they bow their mind before the king that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and they obey him and they enthrone him within their hearts. And that is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ preached as he came into Galilee. What a moment it was, and what a message this is. And it's for us, as we continue in our studies in Mark, to recognize that this is just the beginning. And what a tremendously exhilarating journey we have ahead of us as we look in a fuller way into the gospel of Christ. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Now shall we pray. Lord, we pray that at this moment, as we have listened to this message, the message of Christ, that in our hearts there will be this response of repentance and belief and enthroning Christ as the King and Sovereign of our lives. Thank you for the good news, this wonderful news of the possibility of sins forgiven and of a home in heaven. Lord, help us to, in the context of everything else that is in our lives, to recognize the greatness of the gospel and to accept what Christ brings to us today, as we ask in his name. Amen.